To Whom Shall We Go? I think is the name of that. Brother Ryan can keep me honest when he comes. This morning, I want to deviate from Corinthians and just talk about the resurrection this morning. So we'll go to Matthew 28, and let's bow our heads. Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord, that you proved your word, Lord, on resurrection morning. And you're still proving yourself the same yesterday, today, and forever by that same life that's dwelling in believers. I pray, God, that you'll feel at liberty this morning to be with us, Lord Jesus, and open up the word to us, Lord, and show us, Lord, the things that are hidden here. Lord, we pray as we walk through this scripture. Be with us today. Give us what we have need of. Grant it, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 6. And it starts off, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, just to kind of meditate on this, just to kind of put ourselves in the mind of the believers when they saw, when all of this went down, they come and grabbed Jesus in the middle of the night, took him, beat him all that night, all Thursday night, all night long, early Friday morning, taking him over to Herod, back and forth until he just didn't even look human. And then they crucified him, and all of these things happening, and the believers, you know, to think what, you know, they everything that they had put all their hopes and everything on this man, and now they're watching him die and be put in the grave. So, you know, it says here in the, you kind of have to look at all the different gospels to put the complete story together. These sisters, these women are going to the tomb, but they're not going expecting to see Jesus raised. They're actually going to anoint a dead man. And, you know, you can read in Mark where it says that they didn't even really have it planned out. They're going, like, how you're going to anoint his body with oil, with oils and spices and whatever to, but how, there's a stone in the way. And they actually said in Mark, who's going to move the stone back? Now, to think that they, and you know, you could kind of apply that to your own life. Sometimes when you, if you just have a plan, you don't really even have things planned out, say it like that, that God will make a way. When they got to the tomb, then they found out that God had made a way, that the stone was rolled away, and there's an angel, the angel there that said, he ain't here. He's risen. Now there's that's kind of what Brother Branham was just preaching on in this message. You know, when he was telling that story of the man with the apple tree, and that we're the whole world is looking for something that will take the gospel from just some words on a page to something that's real. And they had heard the preaching for 3.5 years. They had heard all the words be preached, but they were still in a place of doubt where they couldn't believe. But then when you come to a tomb and there ain't nobody there, then you start, wait a second. This isn't just something that we learned about. This takes it from just education. It takes it something from just a legend or a fable or something to something real. And so when Jesus died, you think that his followers didn't really know what to think. In Luke chapter 24, it says it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I think that even an eyewitness, now isn't that the same way today, that an eyewitness can come and tell something happened to me, something supernatural happened, and it just, you know, we struggle with it. It just like what Brother Ryan was just saying, how in, without Christ, if you're not in Christ, then it'll be like a puzzle that you just can't put together. You just can't understand. But when Christ comes and makes it a living reality. See, even when the two men walking on the way to Emmaus, they were telling Jesus, who they didn't recognize, that man that came out from the side, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And then when they went and told the disciples that they had met Jesus, they didn't believe him. They just thought that it was just words, and they failed to understand. You see, the resurrection morning is more than just something about Easter bunnies and eggs that we hide in the field and things that the world has made it, but it's actually the proof that everything that Jesus taught is real, and that same God is resurrecting lives still today, and that's the proof that the gospel is true. It takes away all the doubt. It takes away all the fear. You know, I'll look at all these disciples' responses. When the women at the tomb went to the disciples, when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. When they actually saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted, it says. Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." When Mary Magdalene told him, and she said, all the disciples heard that he was alive, believed not. The two disciples went and told everybody, and it says, neither believed they them. And, you know, all these different examples, it's ironic almost that his enemies believed his word more literally than his friends did. You know, Pilate was the Roman soldiers and everybody, they were so concerned that he was going to actually, that something was going to take place, that they put guards there in front of the tomb and sealed the tomb and put all these obstacles in the way to prevent something from happening. But, you know, to a supernatural God, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, there's something to think about, though, that when you, and there's all so many things coming in my mind right now about when the doctor comes and tells you something. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are to a supernatural God. If God said it, if God gave the promise, he's going to make a way for it. And look, despite all the times that Jesus had said he'd rise again, nobody was at the tomb waiting for him. No stakeout, no sunrise prayer vigil, no anticipation. Those sisters came to anoint a corpse, not greet a risen Lord. In Mark chapter 14 and John chapter 20 says they scattered and hid because they were completely shattered. Now there's the mind, the way that they're thinking was they had no rock, because the rock is your revelation. No something supernatural taking place in your life to make the word something real. Nothing to hold them. That John goes fishing, everybody's running this way and that. It would have felt to them like the death of God's promise itself. Jesus' death wasn't just a tragedy. It was a contradiction. It turned their whole world upside down. Right. And you know, really to think now, if without the resurrection, his ministry, everything Jesus stood for, everything was in question. Was he the Messiah? The resurrection was when life re-entered that body. So now there's the thing, that it's life. It's life that settles the question. It's springtime now, you know, and I thank God for some warm weather. You know, we've had a winter where everything's cold and all the leaves fall off the trees, and finally the leaves are coming back, the flowers are blooming, and it testifies that something supernatural is taking place. Just like that story that Brother Branham was telling of the man over in near Campbellsville. That's where I go preaching in Kentucky a lot. So I know every spot that he's talking about. I have stood at that apple tree where the stump is now and talked to the man that lives in that house and that lives 5 or 6 miles away from Acton Campground that he was talking about. I've stood behind the pulpit at Acton Campground before they tore the place down. And you can find all these other stories where Brother Branham would say that that man at that apple tree that he was talking to, he could hear them screaming at Acton Campground, was like 5, 6, 7 miles away. Because why? Because life, something was taking place. When Brother Branham said, go home and lay that handkerchief on your sister, and she's going to be well of cancer. Amen. What he's talking about is life. And see, did you hear Brother Branham where he said that man wanted to know that it was more than just words on a page? Now there's the thing, and he kept going on. If you pay attention, he was going on. This gospel is more than just education. It's more than learning, because the life, when life comes in the scene, that's what settles the question. And he wanted to see something supernatural. And so he said, well, what if I put a post up on the fence? What would make the water, would the water in the, put a bucket up on the fence, on the fence post, would the water go down into the ground? It's something different that in a tree, in that apple tree that I stood next to that has been cut down now, and they made a little lighthouse and put it in a church near there. But it's something different that makes the sap in the tree go down in the ground, something supernatural. Now, to think that that's the thing that struck something in that man, to realize that that same God that can make the sap in the tree go down in the ground, that same God is the one that told him to go lay the handkerchief on that little sister in the prayer lines, sister at home that had cancer, that same God. What is it? It's life. Life is what settles the question. You go out and you go outside today, and there's a concrete and asphalt and everything, but poking up through all of that, you'll find a little blade of grass, and that's the thing that scientists can't explain. They can get down and tell you what chlorophyll is and what all the different things are, but they can't tell you what makes it alive. And that's the thing that will boggle the mind of any scientist. What makes a Christian act the way they do? What caused Jesus to rise from the grave? It was life. Life is the thing that makes the difference. Amen. And Brother Ram will say in the Easter seal, he said, if a man said, like Columbus, believe the world was round, and he watched the ships, as we're told, how they come in, and he could see the mast way before he could see the ship, and it proved him that the world was round. People didn't believe that in that day, but he was a man of vision. He set out to prove exactly what he had a vision of. That was the truth. Now, look what he's saying. He's saying people in that day believed, some people believed that the earth was flat. Now, if you're a flat earther, just hold on for a second. But he said Columbus, when he was out on the ocean, he could see the mast before he saw the ship. So that proved that the world was not flat. And this is just how we do sometimes. We'll get something so much in our mind until we can't see the proof of it. And the proof, what we're talking about is the resurrection is the proof. The resurrection is the proof. And Columbus could see the proof of it, that the world was round. And he said, and God purposed to prove his word the truth. So there was only one man that could do that, and that was Jesus. And he come and proved that to be the truth. It sealed it. And that broke all the seals of gloom and scattered all the superstitions of other religions and so forth, where great men has raised up and said great, marvelous things, but they're everyone in the grave. But our Christian religion is the only one who has the empty tomb. And that proves to me that he is the God of the dead and God of the living, that he could raise up the dead back to life again. And this quickening power, quickening spirit of his has proved through the years that he is the one who can quicken the dead back to life again. Oh, there's the resurrection. That it's not a one-time event so much, but it's still happening today, that God can take dead, carnal people and change them through his spirit so that he brings them from a dead place to a living reality of the gospel. You know, the devil was so, to think about that scene that the sisters got to when they got to the grave, that the devil was so afraid that he put guards there and he sealed the tomb. In Matthew chapter 27, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, you got to watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." Of course, now the seal separates life from death. Behind that seal, it's just dead carnal understanding. But you break that seal and it actually reveals victory over sin, death. It reveals victory over everything. It reveals something that was previously concealed. You know, to think that when those ladies got to that tomb, the stone wasn't really, did Jesus need, here's something to think about. Did Jesus need that stone to be rolled away for him to come forth? He had walked through walls. He'd walked through crowds trying to stone him. Did he need that stone to be rolled away? But the stone was rolled away so you could look in there and see he ain't there. So they could look in there and see he's gone. The mechanics were laying dead in that tomb. The mechanics, everything that would, all the blood vessels and all the brain matter and everything was laying in that tomb dead. But the dynamics is actually what proved the doctrine. And what's the dynamics? The dynamics is the life. All the way through the scripture, the dynamics is the thing that proves. The dynamics when the Holy Ghost comes and filled your soul, that's what proved that Christ is alive. Brother Branham, he would make this statement in some of his earlier sermons. He'd say, well, you know, if you could walk through exactly how the gnats were created with Moses, that would be helpful. But it was the dynamics when the gnats and the frogs were actually created. That's the thing that proved. It's the life. Brother Branham said, the devil knows it better than any of us. That's right, but he can't live it. It's life. That's it. He can't live it. See, that's the only advantage you got over him. See, he might know it as well as you do, but he can't live it like you can. Christ died that you could live it, see, and he never for him. In the power of God, he said, let me tell you, if you want the devil stirred up, just start preaching divine healing, because that's what shows that God is alive. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls was saved, and Satan never even moved. But a couple of days afterwards, he healed a man at the gate called Beautiful who was lame, and all hell turned loose on him. That's right. The devil don't like to see God display his power. Now, you think about that it don't make the devil upset just somebody to preach a good salvation message or something. But when God begins to show his power that he's alive, right. the devil didn't even turn over there on the day of Pentecost, but there at the gate Beautiful, when Peter and John said, I got something that'll help you out. Look on us. Stand up if you believe. Silver and gold we don't have, but such as I have, I give to you. That's what made the devil upset. And the Easter seal, Brother Aaron said, and I think God hastened the day that when we as Christians who believe this Bible can prove what we are talking about. See, that's what makes, as said a while ago, the salt of the earth, the sister said. That's right. The world is looking for this salt. And when we can prove by our lives and by the Bible that our lives are vindicating that word to be living today, that's the day we're looking for. The resurrection is the proof of who Jesus is. In Romans chapter 1, it says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." And there's the proof of the resurrection. Hey, you know, if the resurrection proves who Jesus is, then the resurrection also proves who you are. In 1 Peter, Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It's the life. You know, you can take a deep dive into things like this, the seals. You know what the seals are all about? It's the life of Christ in the church. The seven thunders are about the life of Christ being revealed. And you know what will give you rapturing faith? It's to see the life of Christ in you, to see the life of Christ in the church, to see his same life walking and talking and actually visible. And the life is what will make people want the gospel. In Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" And the lamb and dove, Brother Ram said, we were never asked to manufacture fruits. We were asked to bear fruits. He said, we've tried to educate it and denominate it, and when we do, we turn out hypocrisy and failure. It's not to be done that way. It's to be done as God intended to do, be done the Spirit inside of us bearing fruits of his presence. That's God's program. It can never be changed. Now, see, the Spirit actually answers all the questions. Now, you know, on the day of on that resurrection morning, or on the day of Pentecost, there was a lot of questions that maybe people had in their mind. Did Jesus really die? Or could he have survived the crucifixion? Are the gospel accounts of the resurrection historically reliable? How can we believe what the scripture says? Could the disciples have hallucinated seeing Jesus alive? Was the tomb of Jesus actually empty? Could somebody have stolen Jesus' body? Why were the resurrection accounts written decades after the events? Is it even possible for somebody to rise from the dead? Now, look, all these maybe are good questions. You know how when you come to Christ, if you look at things with an eye like, you know, you think about Jesus talking to that woman at the well. She didn't even need to see a miracle. But God just did one thing for her, just told her about her past. And that's all it took to believe. Just one thing. I think about all these people. You know, I've watched videos online of people in Brother Branham's meetings. One lady that's not even a message believer today, she said, "I was standing in the prayer line, and I looked down as he discerned my life, and I saw between us a wheel in the middle of the wheel circling." And she was talking about the supernatural that she had seen in the prayer line. Well, that's all it should take. It's just one thing. Just one thing, to hear about just one person being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just one thing to believe. But then on the other hand, if you come and you say, well, if all it takes is for one thing for me to disbelieve, when you come with a critical eye, you're going to get what you expect. There's a lot of things that you can, a lot of things maybe that we don't understand, and a lot of things maybe that aren't made plain. But I tell you what, when the Spirit of the supernatural God comes on the scene, it makes everything plain. Why does it make it plain? Because now you're not looking with the eye of a critic. You're looking saying, well, I don't understand everything, but I know that this message is true. I know that this word is true because I met a living God. And you know, when God comes on the scene, that when he came on the scene on the day of Pentecost, He made everything fit together. That's why Brother Ram was saying in that message we just heard that without Christ, you cannot understand. It's just a mystery. It's just it's something cryptic, something mysterious. But the Spirit of God gives you understanding. Now, here's some of the answers. The Romans were experts in execution. They knew dead when they saw it. They knew how to kill somebody. And it wasn't a hallucination, because hallucinations are individual, not group experiences. Jesus appeared to groups of people. You can read over there in 1 Corinthians later on where we're getting to, where there's a chapter where Paul lays out all these incidents where Jesus appeared to people. A group of 500, to Cephas, to different ones. And the tomb was known. Joseph of Arimathea, if Jesus were still inside producing the body, would have crushed Christianity tonight, overnight. But Jesus said he would rise again. You know, many of the witnesses were skeptical at first. They didn't have anything to gain, only persecution, poverty, and death. Their willingness to suffer and die for their testimony is evidence that what they believed, that they believed that it was true. And you think about what happened when Jesus died. In John chapter 2, verse 18 to 19, he said, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. All Thursday night they beat him. Friday morning he was crucified, somewhere between 6 and 9. At 9, crucified, and then died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm skipping through some of my notes here. And you know, the resurrection proved that Jesus was true, that Jesus was real. And he's still the same today that he always was. And my Redeemer liveth, and we'll stop on this quote. He said, and today, after theologians has tampered with the Bible, after church organizations has set up, and they say, well, this is what we need. Some people buried under the church, some of the saints, will dig up their bones and bring them here. Some of them said, we'll build a church up over the tomb where he was crucified or where he was buried. We'll build a church there. People in material are trying to do materialistic things. But it's such a naught. There's nothing to it. It's all nonsense and nothing to it. But the real resurrection is those who've died with him and been born again, that has that know-so faith. I know my Redeemer liveth. And God's working with those people with signs and wonders. And the Great Commission here showing that he rose from the dead and showing visible signs and wonders. Visible signs and wonders. And I want to say, as the musicians come forward, that God is still the same miracle-working God that he always was. We've heard the story of the testimony of Ron Spencer that just testified that his cancer's gone. My wife and I were talking in the car about a sister we knew that we had met in Louisiana that showed us the picture of the before and after. Before she had been diagnosed with cancer in her lungs. After God got a hold of the situation, she had the MRI, the x-rays, everything showed that the cancer was completely gone from her lungs. Miracle after miracle after signs. Some of you say, well, where are all the miracles? The miracles are right here. If you look around, you can see lives being changed. That there's still a resurrected God working in the lives of people. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what I believe, saints. God bless you.